Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Sunday is not the day to relax.
Brad.
Yep, trying to talk.
Yep, sorry.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
You are a genius, Dave.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
This is the Sunday Rub.
This is going to be an absolute belter.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
How good is a Sunday afternoon when the full team is back together? We haven't been together for most of this year, but as I look around the box, I can't wait to get into it. There's some big games on today. We've got the Gold Coast Suns taking on Sydney, and then later, a big one, Hawthorn against North Melbourne, both winless. McDonald's Ream Hot Water, Triple M, rocks footy. But let's go around the box. First of all, the champion. No, he's a champion to me. He's the Collingwood Carlton 100
gamer. What's the retraction?
He's wearing a Bunnies trade top, and I love Daisy Thomas.
Ah, Noodles, great to be with you. And I'm really looking forward to the game we get to do this afternoon. The Hawks beat the Roos. Good news is someone will be winning. Bad news is we'll have to wait till the end to find out who, but I am looking forward to it.
And a man who is just, he's just cutting a swathe through everything in the media at the moment. Steve Johnson, he is up and about. His cats are going well. He's going well in his own coaching career. And this is the first time I've seen you in about a month.
Great to see you, Nath. And didn't you walk in with a pep in your step after the Sunday footy show? Mediocre. You've gone after Johnny Ralph. You've gone after Jimmy Vartelli. The chest is pumped out.
I'm not going after these people, Stevie.
I'm simply going after them.
It's just it's fun and it's in jest and it's to be taken
I'm sure they all take it that way too.
And the man who they probably should have closed the loophole, and we're not talking about the Charlie Cameron loophole, but the loophole of playing on from fullback many, many years ago. But Joey Montagna's here.
Hello, Skipper. Good to see you back in the host chair. I like the little power struggle that went on just before we went on air, where Jay-Z wanted to assume the power, and you just gave him a look like it was a dirty look.
Oh, there was no power struggle. Jay-Z merely said about 5 seconds before we went live, is it you or me? And I sort of just said, well, if you'd like to take it, you can take it. And then he sort of he turned into a frail little flower. He's like, No, you do it. But Herald Sun's number one man is Jay Clark, and he's here as always.
Brownie, remember when you were a kid and you're walking along a footpath after it'd been raining and you sort of pick up a snail and it goes back into its shell? Yeah. That's how I felt in that moment.
That's
mate.
How it looked as well.
Oh, I was just making sure you were fully prepared. Can I ask you a question now? I don't want this to be too awkward, all right?
But it's going to be awkward.
But let's be awkward. Because I do awkward better than anybody.
You do. You're very good at awkward. So this is why we need to go straight to it, because there's a bit of talk in the sort of football industry, and Daisy, you're a bit involved in this as well, like you've had the boxing and the fights and, you know, it was major success, and Brownie, your reputation's been enhanced, and Daisy, your reputation is still very good. But have you been paid?
Because absolutely.
Has the full amount hit the bank account?
The full amount has hit the bank account.
Daisy?
Full amount has hit the bank account.
Nice relief.
Because...
and a lot of it was for charity, as we know.
Yeah, well, that's, the charities rang me and said...
yeah, my European holiday.
Was there a delay? Did it take a little bit longer than you expected?
24 hours it took longer, but absolutely. They sent an email just to say they're dispersing the money evenly across everybody who contributed. And absolutely, 24 hours later, it was in.
So the full 50.
How much?
50.
Did you take unders, Brownie? No, it was good. It was good, and a lot of it has been donated to charity, Brownie, so well done.
Because there's been a bit of talk that you sort of didn't get paid, so we just needed to...
No, absolutely. We got paid 100%, and it was a very good experience. And as you know, you were a boxer yourself back in the day. Yeah. It's a nerve-wracking experience.
Yes, I shat myself.
Mm. Anything else?
Was that the clip?
No.
Was that it?
That was as awkward as it gets. But I'll tell you what I was loving. And Jay, this revolves around you and a little bit of the awkwardness.
Yes.
I was driving down to Torquay last night. I'd done my stint on the races. Moves the needle like a benchmark 78 on a Saturday at Mornington. And I was listening to the post-match where you got to interview Geordie DeGoey.
Yes.
Have a listen.
We got the great Jordan DeGoey here, 27 possessions, 15 contested, 7 score involvements today. Geordie, well done. 42-point winners over Port Adelaide. A strange old game, given the big swing, but you'd be wrapped to get the chocolates.
Oh, 100%, obviously. A bit of a disappointing start from us. They really made us play on turnover, and you know, once we got that contest right, I think we were able to score from the back.
Question one, we continue.
Can you explain what happened? What did Fly say? What was the change? I think you kicked 6 straight late in the second quarter. Why such a big swing?
I think it starts with pressure. I think we said a lot. Bit of head around ball, and then sometimes it made him fumble, and then off that we got to turn over, get deep entries, and give up all the chance. We've been starting him pretty much up until this point of chances, so it was good to get him a few.
So it was a slow start out of the blocks in the Premiership defence, but now you've chalked up 3 straight in a row. It was a win over Brisbane,
Got it down over Hawthorn today, Port Adelaide. Massive game next week. Do you feel like you got a bit of momentum now?
Oh, for sure. Obviously, it's great to get a few wins on the board, but you know, every time you're right, you never know what you're going to do. So good. So we'll go back, rest, recover, and go again.
Anzac Day, always massive on Thursday. You were excellent last week, of course, in the Anzac Day medal votes. You get the goosebumps, you get the tingles. Obviously, such a respectful, significant day on the footy calendar. What's it like for you?
Yeah, obviously, there's significant
issues. I love the fact, Jay, you got your opportunity for a little interview post match, and you turn it into a 5-minute sit down interview. The best part was that it finished with a question about Scotty Penry. Poor Geordie DeGoey, that was 5 minutes of his life he's never going to get back. It's usually two questions and you're done.
I'm going to bring up the text message from Tommy Beers. Mate, can you do a 5-minute chat with whoever we can get? It's just you one-on-one. It'll be played at halftime of the Carlton game.
Complete retraction. Well done. You nailed the brief. I was listening along in the car. I thought, well, this is, you know, very good of Geordie. He was being very nice.
Yeah.
You are a known inserter, though. You like to insert yourself into a lot of things. And now, obviously, we're talking about Luke Beveridge last week. And after the game, he came up with that strange question. Or he answered that question very strangely about the past, the present, and all the future. And then you were talking to Jim and Bill, and you just had to put in the fact that you were there and you asked the question.
It has been a little bit unclear from the public messaging, the press conferences. The other night I asked him, where do you guys think you're at? And there was a 3-minute answer that which sort of talked about the pain, the future, the backwards, the forwards, also, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Well, that's ironic that you counted how long the answer went for, because we interviewed Paddy Lipinski just before you got here, and you can hear that on the bonus content on the podcast. He asked, and you love this, we counted it, didn't we, Leroy? One question that AZ asked went for 53 seconds.
53 seconds.
Stevie J was looking at him, started dozing off. We're like, Stevie, whoa, stay awake. So there was a bit of inserting in that interview. Jay speaks for longer than Paddy Lipinski. If you do want to listen, it was a great chat, actually, with Paddy Lipinski.
Did Rabsy text you and say, ask a 60-second question?
And even the other day, in that same interview, you started talking about Anzac Day, and I just want to ask you what you meant here.
The Western Bulldogs have been a club under siege, let's be honest, over the past 5 days. I was in the press conference with Luke Beveridge on Friday night after that loss to Essendon. It was hard to really make much sense of where he thought the football club was at. They are playing great footy, the Magpies, so they need to respond. They've got a bigger Anzac Day game coming up, so they need to get their ducks in a row.
What ducks do they need to get in a row? Just out of curiosity, when you say the Magpies need to get their ducks in a row 2 weeks out from where they're playing, what ducks are these?
Yeah, well, I don't think they've started their premiership defence brilliantly.
But what so ducks? When you talk about ducks, what do you mean?
Not the ones that quack. More so, you know, the midfield firing, their defence has been a little bit brittle. You know, how's the forward structure? So it's more just trying to find different ways to say the same thing over and over again, Brownie, to be honest. And occasionally I like to bring animals into it.
You know what he said just before you walked in, Nate?
What?
Can the dogs win the flag?
He did, didn't he?
He did. What was the resounding answer?
Don't think so.
Stunning look back at him by the three of us.
Steve, we haven't seen you for a while. You've been
since you've been stabbed.
Well, you're lucky to be here, obviously. But how are you? How's the coaching going?
Going very well, Nathan. We had a very tight tussle yesterday. I only just got over the line to the Wangaratta Magpies by 2 points. It was about 8 lead changes in the last quarter. So an unbelievable game of country footy, and we're sitting 4-0, so quite happy at the moment.
Complacency setting in? Is that what we're reading into this?
I wouldn't have thought so, Daisy. There's no premiership hangover at the Pigeons.
Well, you just fell in against the Magpies.
A very good team. Mm. A very good team. So, no, I've been very well.
And what's impressing you about the AFL this year? Certain clubs, certain styles? What do you think?
Well, I'm actually pretty surprised by the way the Cats are going, to be honest. I think they are a legitimate chance at the end of the year to be pressing for another premiership. I know their midfield is where they lack experience, but what they do away from the contest is better than anyone else in the competition. So they don't mind, you know, losing the contest at times, as long as they're set up well behind the ball and they score off transition, off turnover, and their forward line's as good as anyone's in the competition. So they've surprised me so far.
Matty Lloyd said this morning that he feels like Chris Scott is the best coach in the AFL right now, and that the fact that in the coach's box the other night, he completely bamboozled Chris Fagan in how they went about it.
Yeah, well, I think the conditions probably played a role. But as I sort of touched on, I think the Lions were pretty good around the contest. But what Geelong do is they've got a system which stands up, and the players know their roles within that system. And, you know, when they get that ball into their front half, they've got so many dangerous smalls, and even their talls are good at ground level. And, you know, they just played the conditions better last night. But overall, so far this season, they've gone through undefeated. And I know Joey was one of the people before the start of the season that said, I think they can be genuine contenders. And we probably looked at him and thought, you're kidding yourself. But they just keep proving themselves, don't they?
If Chris Scott orchestrated Oscar McInerney going off, he is an absolute genius. Because that was the turning point in the game. Oscar was awesome. He got clipped in the cheek, big black eye, concussion out of the game. And from that point on, the Cats dominated around the footy. So I'm not sure how much credit Chris can take for that. But if he did orchestrate it, I agree, he's a genius.
But saying Chris Scott's the best coach in the competition, that's like not exactly coming up with a new Rubik's Cube, is it? Like,
no.
Well, he's been probably that for about the past 10 years.
He likes saying Pendles is the best kick in the competition.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I didn't say it. Like, Lloydie said it, so I was just rehashing what he said.
Take the feedback back to Lloydie.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you don't think he's the best coach in the competition?
I think he's been...
There's some people putting their hands up at the moment.
He's been up there for the past...
Jake's saying it like coming and saying, Matthew Lloyd said Marcus Bontempelli's the best player in the competition, as in like it's something groundbreaking. Yeah,
I know you're the captain, but you're the captain obvious. For a minute.
You like a pick one, Jay? Pick one. Chris Scott or Luke Beveridge?
Chris Scott.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you're laughing at either over there.
I was
in here Friday night with the Chief, and he was saying that off air you were talking about the fight with him and the fact that you thought that maybe you could go in the boxing ring and beat me. This is what the Chief was saying Friday night.
No way.
That's what you said to the Chief.
You're looking for another 50, aren't you?
I said no way.
Is there the rumour true, Stevie? Stevie Baker and you?
Yes, got to get that one up and going.
This one has come to me with some decent authority.
Yeah, if the price is right.
And it's a bit of genuine feeling.
Yeah, that would be a proper...
Yeah, I think I'd have the reach on him, but I think he's an animal, isn't he? He's hard to knock down, Stevie Baker, and I think he needs the paycheck, so he's pushing it a bit more than what I am at the moment.
He's hard to knock down. You've tried.
Yeah, elbows.
I did knock him down. It was a standing 8 count. I can't believe he got back up.
Yeah. Tell you what, it's a different crowd though, the boxing, wasn't it? Like when you look around and there's...
Your words, Nath, your words.
I thought it was a nice crowd. Big boys in there. I went to the boxing last night. It was at the Pullman in Albert Park. So they set up the ballroom and the guy who trained me, Jason Marley, he was fighting for an Oceania title last night, and I walked in and I was late and I had this leather jacket on. I thought I was looking it in a bit. And when I walked in, it felt like every gangster in the room turned around and stared at me. And I was very quick to get to my chair and sit down.
I went to the last month before that, and I'd come from a charity poker match where I wore a full tux. I rocked up to the Pullman in a full tux with that crowd.
And
they started asking me to serve drinks.
And what do you think these blokes are thinking as you guys walk in like that? Oh, look at that.
Look at this bloke who thinks he's a boxer. And he could not box anything.
Couldn't knock the froth off a cappuccino.
Knock the froth off cane corns, though.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub. Two big games coming up this afternoon. Can't wait to get into that. You've got Daisy, you've got Stevie, you've got Joey, and this man.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Thank you, Brownie. It is hard not to almost love the way Harley Reid is playing at the moment. And the story, I mean, we come out and we do these news stories and it can be very negative, but what he is doing in that West Coast Eagles jumper, I think he's just captured the whole imagination of the footy public. Because remember, you go back to last year's trade period, every man and his dog was saying that West Coast Eagles should trade that first pick for multiple other picks so they can spread their talent in the first round. West Coast held their nerve, had watched Harley Reid for 2 years and said, this bloke is something special. And last night, Leroy, he did this.
Sends it towards the goal square. Harley's there. Can he grab it? He can! Harley takes a ride! And he's got it in the goal square!
Harley Reid! What a grab!
Only West Coast can score from here. It's deep in their forward line. Reid's got it. Oh, he's taken high.
Oh, Harley Reid's going to have a shot after the siren. He's missed.
No, he hasn't. He's absolutely nailed it. Never doubt Harley Reid. They pile on top of him.
Witherden just tries to place it at the top of the square.
Oh, hallelujah! He's flying! Harley Reid has just taken another screamer. Unbelievable stuff, Harley Reid. About 20 metres out. He's gone 6 deep and hung. printing press is going to run out of ink. Harley's gone mad. He's kicked free.
Pretty excited commentary, wasn't it? And the whole of Western Australia at the moment is as excited.
He turned over, he bumped over Nat Fyfe last night and left him on his back like an upturned turtle. It was an amazing bit of vision. But what's West Coast paying? Does he genuinely become a top 20, top 30 paid player in the competition on his next deal? He would become the Eagles' highest paid player, $1 million a year. Is that crazy, Stevie? What do you think?
Well, it depends what they're going to pay him from a contract point of view versus a marketing point of view. Yeah, he's a new Prince of Perth, let's be honest. And I know Nick Nat, when he was at the peak of his powers, he was getting paid, say, let's say 80% of his contract was probably what he was deserving as a footballer.
800, 900.
And then another 20% on top of that for what he brings in terms of value to the footy club. So I think he deserves to be the highest paid player, but they can't then go and throw everything at him when they're trying to rebuild a footy club that wants to be successful down the track. So
the commentary going around at the end of last year when North Melbourne won that game and they missed out on Harley Reid, and everybody was talking about how much it had built up the football club, that they've won a game at the end of the year. There were some people who work in that recruiting industry to say the fact that Harley Reid was that far ahead of a generational player than the two and number three and number four pick, there was just daylights between him and the rest.
There were recruiting staff at other clubs gobsmacked that they made a decision. You don't want to necessarily condone tanking, but essentially that's really what we're doing. I think they should have found a way to lose that game. There's no doubt about that, because he looks like a once-in-a-generation player. It looks like he's absolutely loving it on field days.
Well, whatever club he went to was going to give them instant relevance in terms of some media speculation. He's become the face of the club already for a club that was really struggling and had no real hope. And it's a very dangerous word, hope, in the footballing world, but that's what he's given the whole state of Western Australia. The West Coast Eagles supporters now, they've got something to hang their hats on for. Hey, let's get excited about this next 5 years, not only with Harley, but Ginby in and around there as well. What they're able to do, he's going to be the face of the junior membership as well. All the sponsors now who, you, if you're sitting there in commercial sales at the West Coast Eagles, you are going, you bloody beauty, North Melbourne, thank you so much. I can now pick up the phone with confidence and say, hey, you want to come? We're selling the stadium. Listen to this roar. We've got a kid called Harley Reid. Pay up and get on board for the next 10 years.
It's not just the state of Western Australia. He's made West Coast relevant for the whole AFL industry. We're all watching West Coast Eagles games now. They're must-watch TV, the West Coast Eagles, off the back of one young man. And sort of thinking before on the way in about the analogy with like LeBron James and the pressure that he came into the NBA under, like this chosen one and all that, to exceed what the expectations were. I mean, it's only early, but this bloke is actually living up to the hype that everyone thought was ridiculous, that was impossible. He's played six games of footy.
And more importantly, it's how he's done it as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's actually had over 20 disposals. I
26
think
he had last week.
Most has been around the 18 or 19 mark, 26 last week. Thank you very much, Daisy. But the way he's taken pack marks, impact, what he's doing, the Sydney game where he grabbed his jumper and he was into Gould and he was playing angry that day. Obviously, he talked about how he knocked over Nat Fyfe. It's the way he's going about
it. Yeah, he doesn't have a weakness in his game. So he's got speed, power, skill.
Penetration.
He can mark the ball in a contested situation. We watched Matt Rowell come in a couple of years ago when he was the number one draft pick, and he started his career as good as anyone's ever started. But he was an in and under, get the ball out, which was his one would. Whereas he didn't have what Harley Reid has in terms of what he's able to do away from the stoppage as well. So he's a complete package.
And over the first 3 weeks, when that question kept getting posed, did North do the right thing? Should West Coast have maybe split it up? I was in the camp of, we don't really know. And I think that's on the back of what we've seen from a Sam Walsh, a Matt Rowell and a Nick Dacos. These kids are coming in now in their first season and having instant impact. Did take him three rounds to get going, a touch slower than some, but it's absolutely incredible the way he's come in. The knock was going to be, you do it against the kids, mate, can you do it against the bigger bodies? He's taking the piss at a very young age.
He should have won the medal over Elliot Yeo. I thought last night, 3 goals in 19 possessions, that when the ball goes in his area, you can hear the crowd. I'm going to ask you all a difficult question.
Is your phone on silent? Because Brownie's answer would be no.
I'll start with you, Stevie, right? You got to pick one here. This is a game Joey and I used to play. Pick one, Nick Dacos or Harley Reid?
Jeez, that's a tough one.
That's a good one.
Is anyone feel really clear about it?
The fact that I don't have an answer is scary.
Yeah, I actually don't have an answer. I think they're different players. I think if I'm picking a player,
for
West Coast Eagles right now, it's Harley Reid. It's Harley Reid because he, as I said, he's a complete package. They need someone that can stand up in that midfield and drag others along with him, whereas Dacos is the polish on top, which Collingwood needed to win a flag
last year. I'll ask you the question, Jay-Z. So Tasmania right now get to pick the one player that they get to take to their club. It's Nick Dacos or Harley Reid. Right now, for the next 15 years, who would you take if you were running the Tasmania
football club? I'm asking you guys. You guys are the experts.
I'm probably picking Harley Reid.
Really?
I love what Nick Dacos brings, but Harley Reid's got a little bit of that I don't really give a stuff. Nick's a very polished performer already in the media. He's a bit more country kid, raw, you know, a chance to bugger up from time to time, if you will. There's something about
him. There's a bit of Luke Hodge about
him. He's got that little bit of extra riz.
Yeah. I'll take Nick Dacos then, to even it out. Yeah, okay. I still would.
What about you, Brownie?
I'd be delighted with anything, by the way.
I think we very quickly forget the influence Nick Dacos has had and what he's done
clear in the brown
and
light,
the way he kicks the football. I don't think there's a player with a better footy IQ in the game. So right now, he's played 6 games, so I'm still going with Dacos.
From a marketing point of view, if it's Tassie?
Both.
You're happy with either?
You've got the Dacos name. You've got the nice looks. They're both good-looking young men. I think the marketing is equal for both of them.
What we're going to see, that as Harley gets a bit older, these two players continue their AFL careers, the Harley versus Nick Dacos. And when they go head-to-head in the centre square over the next 10 years, I tell you what, you will want to be rocking up at the MCG or Perth Stadium to check it out. Adam Simpson was asked about Harley last night. And as you can tell, very, very happy with his prodigy.
We love what Harley's doing, and our internal expectations are not what he's producing. They're a lot higher. They're probably just meeting expectations publicly. So I'm really cautious to not overplay it, because he's 19. You know, it's hard to sustain that coming into the AFL. But why he keeps doing it, I think we should all enjoy it. But let's not get too worried if he has an off day. Yeah, he's playing with that spirit and freedom that I think we all appreciate and enjoy. And today he did it a little bit differently. He kicked 3 and really energised the crowd and the players, but we're not expecting that every week. We'll take it, but it's not something that, you know, like I said, if he's just part of the team, then we're all good.
So I think Kane Corns was the one mainly who led the charge around North Melbourne. West Coast was crazy to keep the number one pick, and it looks like the Eagles appear to have made the... Does anyone think that they should have split that, West Coast?
I did. Look, time will tell all stories. We are going off a smallish sample size. Colby McKerch is going to be a very good player as well from what we've seen across halfback. So I think both sides would be happy enough with what they're doing. It's just the fact that this kid now, for all the expectation, and, you know, because nowadays... You're spoken about for 12 months before you get into the league. That's the reason why, you know, he's so relevant and such a big story.
Off the back of this, it's how many games can West Coast win this year?
How many? 2.
They can win way more. If you look at the footy they've played the last week, they could win 6, 7, 8 games.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
A good against Richmond last week. You've got to be momentum.
6.
But the fact that they're all walking taller now because of Harley Reid.
It's changed the whole look of them.
But that's why...
The noise and the excitement that happened last night, that is such... a great filler for the players who played last night, who haven't won a lot of games, and they go into next week bang up with confidence.
He's bringing hope, which is incredible. He's 18.
Which is exactly what North Melbourne needed, by the way. Imagine what he'd be doing to that team.
It's like a Joel Selwood aura that he's got on the field.
He'll have apostles soon.
More than that. Hey, we have to...
An apostle. The 12th one.
12th one.
We had to touch quickly. We're going to get to Carlton in a second, but quickly on GWS key forwards. Jesse Hogan and Toby Green, they're both going to be missing, I feel, for this game against Brisbane at the weekend. You've probably seen the bump in midair. Toby Green took out Carlton's Jordan Boyd, and it reminds us all of the Pete Wright bump on Harry Cunningham. Yes, it's a similar incident. However, the big difference here is Jordan Boyd gets back up on his feet and keeps playing on, where Cunningham didn't know where he was.
Impact wasn't as big, was it?
No.
Nowhere near it.
No. So it's a one-match suspension, I reckon.
You reckon he definitely goes?
Yeah, one match.
Jay-Z's 100%.
What is he meant to do, though? Yeah. What is he meant to do? So people are saying he's meant to put his hands up and mark the football. Now, his natural inclination is to protect himself when that clash comes. So he's told that he has to have a duty of care for the player coming back the other way. But so you're not having a duty of care yourself, because if you put your hands up, then you open up your whole chest and midriff region. So you've got to have a duty of care for him, but you're meant to open yourself up in the same situation.
The duty of care, I heard this conversation on that Sunday, the duty of care doesn't exist, because if he went for the ball, he's allowed to go as hard as he wants at Jordan Boyd and knock him out. So he's got no duty of care to Jordan Boyd if he keeps his arms out like everyone's saying. So you're not really protecting. You're still not protecting that player coming back with the footy.
You feel a lot safer
of course
going up
like
that.
I'm in that camp.
You know, you don't want to get to the point where he puts his knee or his foot into it and has his hands up, because then that's deemed legal as well if you put your knee into him and you're going for the ball with your hands.
Who causes the contact there? Like, in that, if Boyd doesn't go, Toby marks it. If Toby, like, what's else he meant to do?
Yeah, oh, well,
this Boyd's the one who has a decision to make. On a football field, you have a decision if you go back with the flight. You don't have a decision if you're coming full-chested.
Yeah.
One of my old coaches used to say the football field is the one place in the world you can basically commit a murder and get away with it. If a player comes back with the flight and you get an opportunity to go through them, you can get away with it. But now I reckon the rules change where it's the first person to get to the ball, then he deserves the duty of care. So if he goes back and he gets his hands on the ball first before Toby, then it's Toby's duty of care.
Steve, you've had two coaches, mate. Just name them. Just
it was Chris Scott.
Yeah. It can only be one of two.
The best coach in the comp.
Yeah, your boys, you're spot on. And that is the wrestle the game is having with itself at the moment, because a lot of these things are instinctive. Just say Toby didn't turn. Just say he goes straight. Then he could be looking at a head-on-head situation, which could be worse.
Or they both pull out and the ball goes between them, and then we say, what's everyone doing?
Correct. So the turn might have actually been an even safer way, to be honest.
Exactly.
So that is that instinct. As a footballer, that you guys, the incidents, the split-second decisions, that is what the AFL is wrestling at the moment, because these marking contests, absolutely in particular, are really harder to judge.
Do you feel like the MRO hasn't helped with how inconsistent they've been at adjudicating these?
No, I actually feel, because I go through them meticulously, I feel like it is more consistent than you think.
Right.
That's what I
thought. How did Tom Lynch get off last year then?
I thought that was a wrong decision. That was poor. But what you've got is the tribunal.
That was a tribunal.
So the MRO grades consistently, I think, but then the tribunal let Charlie Cameron off because he's a good bloke. Like, that was absolutely farcical. So that is a difficult wrestle the game is having. Adam Kingsley on GWS says that Toby should get off.
He won't be anything in that. He's allowed to contest the ball, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
He's allowed to launch at the ball.
He's allowed to go for a mark, I think.
Yep. And if you're running and launching at the ball and you've got your eyes for the ball, you're trying to take a chest mark and you get knocked, free kick against?
It was paid.
It's hard being Toby.
I
was just going to say, is it hard for players leading at the ball in general now? Like, we saw the Peter Wright one.
No, earlier. Just Toby.
The super slow-mo distorts everything. For people to say at the last minute he turns and chooses to bump is incorrect. It is not a turn and choose to bump. It happens that quick. It's an instinctive self-preservation mode.
Yep.
That's all it is. And unfortunately, players are getting suspended for instinctive self-preservation instances, not choosing to bump.
I went through the super slow-mo and took that screenshot. Yep. If you didn't know the context of that...
We can
put it up. But the ball is... It's a genuine 50-50. The ball is between both of them. Their hands are interlocked. If you didn't know where the ball was coming from, and we'll put it on the socials...
The audience can't, because they can't see.
Yeah, this is what we're... Probably not the right forum, is it?
Adam Kingsley saying there's a Toby tax. Do you think the MRO sit there and go, oh, it's because it's Toby, he needs an extra... I think he's got off potentially a bit lightly. Hey, we quickly need to speak about Carlton, because the second half was very strong over GWS. You called it for Triple M. Joey, I'm interested in what you think on the bigs, because Mark Pitanay didn't start the season. He's in now, so there's a combination with Tom De Koning, who fired yesterday. Pitanay was very good. Is it the tall combination they stick with?
Still too early to know which one works best. They won four games on the trot by having Harry Mackay as their second ruck, and they looked great. They've also won a couple of games with Pitanet and De Koning doing the ruck work, and yesterday it worked perfectly.
Yep.
They dominated around the clearance and stoppage work, and then De Koning kicked three goals. Now, how often is that going to happen? I'm not sure. I still think they'll wrestle with it, and it might chop and change throughout the year until they figure out what their best combo is going into finals.
Out of all the dual ruckmen at the moment in the competition, he looks the most natural forward, though. So I think that's why it works. When you look at
the stats don't say that.
De Koning.
Yeah. When he goes forward and kicks three goals, he does look a natural forward. So there's obviously Darcy and Jackson at Fremantle. Neither of them seem a natural forward. You've also got the Essendon ruck combination. Neither of them seem a natural forward, but he does at the Blues. De Koning seem a natural forward when he goes forward.
I'm certain Luke Jackson is a better ruckman than Sean Darcy too, Joe. I think that continues to be a story. Zach Williams copped a knock on his Achilles. Spoke to the Blues this morning. They said that's more just a corky than a rupture and a repeat of his previous Achilles injury. Tom Stewart for the Cats suffered a concussion in the win over Brisbane in the wet. What a very good win that was. So Stewart clearly missing for that game against Carlton, but they could be missing Zach Williams too as well. The Blues still missing McGovern and Saad. So the Cats and the Blues next week, that'll be a great game. Let's have a quick listen to Michael Voss and his review of that tall structure you just talked about, Joey.
Are you philosophically locked in on 2022?
two rucks, or is it?
No, not necessarily. But you know, if their form's, you know, form says a lot as well. So, and there's a lot of discussion on two rucks or not two rucks. You know, we've got a style of play that we want to play, and you know, clearly we had the dominance around the ball today. Certainly from centre square bounce, we did. But you know, it was their games were certainly impactful today.
Just be careful, Brandy, when you take someone else's opinion and make it your own. De Koning has kicked 22 goals in his career in 65 games. Luke Jackson kicked 22 goals last season. So to say one is a natural forward and one's not, just put a bit more
you love
forward,
your stats, don't you, Joey? Who went with it, Joey? Take it
who
on.
Went with it? Boy, Stevie J picked up. Stevie J picked up and went with it.
We're going to head to a break.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's Arena Hot Water. Triple M Rocks footy. A couple of big games on this afternoon. 4 o'clock, Marvel Stadium. The Hawks take on the Kangaroos. The Kangaroos are the well outsiders in this one. I thought they would be a lot closer in the betting world, but how do we see this game panning out today?
Oh, I'm giving Gold Coast a chance. I think they are playing some great footy, I reckon.
Yeah. No, they've...
We're talking about Hawthorn.
Sorry. My bad. I give
it's a battle
a
of the midfields, Nath. That's where the Hawthorn has really fell down in recent weeks. It's their midfield. So the pressure's on John Newcombe, who was in the All-Australian squad last year and had a really poor performance last week.
Yep.
Hasn't been anywhere near his best. They've got Warple, Ward, and Nash. I think they're going to be up against it with the North Melbourne midfield. I give North Melbourne a chance here. Davies, Uniacke, Sheasel. They've got Simkin and Young McKercher. So this is where the game's going to be won and lost, through the midfield.
So they ranked 2 last year for disposals, the Hawks. Why have they changed so much this year? They're now ranked 16th. Their midfielders can't get their hands on the football. They've changed the way they play a little bit, certainly against the Melbourne that Melbourne game where they like to chip it around a lot slower. Is Sam Mitchell changing the game plan too much?
He has this year. It was all, the story was, we're playing however we want to play and we're not worrying about whatever the opposition do. They might get through us, they may be too good, but we are worrying about our offense and that's all we're going to move on to. This year, there's been a shift. The Melbourne game wasn't how they moved the ball, and that wasn't because what Melbourne did. That was the mindset that the Hawks came out with. They need to go back today to just rolling the dice. They may as well lose in a shootout rather than playing a style that they don't know and are trying to learn on the run. Go for that enjoyable handball, roll, keep it forward, keep it exciting, which North will bring back at you the other way. But if they're going to win today, that's the way they've got to do it.
North Melbourne's midfield isn't setting the world on fire, is it, Jay?
No, it's like,
why are we falling
they're
into
17
the
and 18, Jay. No, nobody's setting anything on fire.
They're talented enough on their day to...
You've been seduced.
No, they're talented enough to beat North Hawthorn, who are struggling through that part of the ground.
Well, they're going
to. That's why we give them a chance.
We're not saying anybody's lighting the world on fire. I think they're both pretty ordinary.
If they were coming up against Port Adelaide or one of those top teams, you'd say they're no chance. But given what Hawthorn's been serving up.
It's the opportunity, isn't it, for North today? And if they give Larky some service and get it down there, we know that the Hawks' defence is vulnerable. So they've got to go into this game believing they can win North Melbourne. That's their opportunity.
It's their grand final.
Yep.
I think Big Suv is in for a big game today.
Hawthorn,
I don't think he's got a great matchup for him. So if they can get enough ball to him, he's the one. If North Melbourne win, I feel like it probably has to start with a 4 or 5 in front of it for Larky.
Suva Larky on Frosty. It's going to be
Frostball.
Must watch.
What happens if Hawthorn lose this? If you play this out a little bit, and Joey, you said a couple of years ago that everyone had fallen in love with Hawthorn, the rebuild was actually going to take 8 years. What happens if the Hawks go down here? What will be the reaction? Will the media bus be parked? Will it be a serious blowtorch?
Nothing really happens, does it? It just puts more pressure on Sam Mitchell and what they're trying to do. But in regards to the long-term play, nothing really changes. It's just more the week-to-week, you know, the sort of news cycle of the Heat will come because they'll be the team that still hasn't won a game of football.
I think there has to be a fair bit of pressure on him, Joey. They can't win this
job,
one, they start 0-6.
Yeah.
I don't think his job's in jeopardy, but he deserves... Some real decent criticisms and some questions to be asked as to what they're trying to do as a footy club in terms of, you know, we touched on it a little bit last week. Last year, you know, since Sam Mitchell's taken over the coaching, he's come in as a new age coach and he's gone attack first, whereas most premiership teams are built on the back of contest and defense first. That's what they do. Ross Lyon, Bomber Thompson, Alistair Clarkson. That's the model for them. Sam's come in with a completely different view on that, and it's not working. So are they going to go back to saying, right, we're going to focus on those things now. We didn't quite get it right. Or are we going to keep doing what Daisy said they have to do to win the game is just take the game on and try and win in a shootout, which is not going to get them anywhere in the next 12 months.
You're the only one who's coached and you've been in the coaching box. He has been a coach who's coached from above. We've seen him a couple of weeks being down on the bench. He was quite frustrated down on the bench. Does it? I don't want to say it's not the right thing to do, but changing from one to the other, do you just need to pick one?
I think maybe if you're coaching it and you've got your team playing with confidence and the individuals are feeling good about their game, you can start to, you know, manipulate stuff from up top and make some moves. But I think he's probably feeling like his players are lacking a bit of confidence and he needs to be down there to give instruction and you know, make sure they're feeling good about themselves. That's where they're at as a footy club at the moment.
You can't coach from the bench if you're going to show any negative emotion, the frustration was coming out on the weekend.
He wasn't doing that last week.
As a player, when you're coming off and you're sensing that the coach is getting irritable, he's frustrated, he's angry, piss off back to the coach's box because you don't need to see that as a player. You need to get the pump ups, even if it's going horribly like last week. You don't need that energy.
It would affect everybody else on the bench, too. Absolutely. Not just the players, but the bench staff and everybody.
Craig McRae, think of the example, and Collingwood, you know, a different kettle of fish, but when they've been behind and he's coming, you know, people are coming off, he's patting them on the bum, he's giving high fives, he's cheering. If it's not going great, you still see a very similar sort of model rather than someone who's hitting things and looking frustrated.
He was doing that yesterday. They were 26 points down. I think they were 31. They kicked the goal. Then they got the behind the 26. And he was talking to Bobby Hill and they were having a great laugh when they were 26 points down on the boundary line.
And that just releases the pressure. Whereas if it continues to build, then everyone goes tight, goes inshallah, and you get the
Jay's
results.
Jay's had his hand up for a while.
He's getting sore, that arm. Sorry, Jay.
It is a bit sore. In Sam Mitchell's defence, did he not inherit a list that had been taken over the line, that had fallen off the cliff edge? So he takes on Alistair Clarkson today, and I don't think these guys were on each other's Christmas card lists. But is it because Hawthorn tried to go too far, 2016, 2018, into 2020, before the rebuild actually happened, or 18? Like, is it really just a melee stemming from the list decisions from a longer time ago?
There's no doubt the cliff was coming with that list.
Because they went it again with O'Meara.
He tried to get every last inch out of that group, Alistair Clarkson. And
Wingard.
And he knew that it was coming. I've got no doubt about that. But the only question I ask is, what is the process for Sam Mitchell from the beginning? So it's consistent and we know what it looks like, what they're trying to build as a footy club to begin with, so that we can see the future in 5 years' time. At the moment, you would expect them to be playing much better footy. And I think he's come out and openly said that they should be performing at a level which is greater than what they're dishing out at the moment.
Had their mouth guards in all week, Joey.
I was going to say, the rebuild started in Clarko's last year. They turned the corner and played 8 debutants and gave games to all those youngsters in Clarko's last year. So they did start it then, but yes, they did leave it very late.
There's a game starting in about 12 minutes' time. We haven't got long before the break. Gold Coast, this is a huge game.
I'd give them a chance.
And the draw would look like they might even play finals this year.
If they win this, then you could very comfortably say they are absolutely up this into this season, their eyeballs.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rock City.
Now on the Sunday Rub.
Every gun makes its own tune.
It's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the round so far.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Yes, we love that segment. And is that a nice little juiced up stinger? Is there a few more bullets or a few more shots in that one? I like it. The boys have their chambers loaded. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to start with the good, and that's you, Stevie. You're our glass half full man. What was floating your boat this round?
Well, what caught my eye, Jay, was Harley Reid last night. So I was tuning into the Geelong-Brisbane game. I turned over to watch the Eagles and Fremantle, and I couldn't look away. Yeah. Harley Reid, at his best, he's a man ready to just take on league footy. His ability to win the clearances, to use his speed and power to get away from him and to hit the scoreboard and take marks the way he did was just unbelievable. And then some of the stuff he done off the ball as well was incredible. Like, Nate Fyfe got in his way at one stage and he just bulldozed him. He just loves hitting body for a young man. So I can't wait until he's 24 or 25. But to see what he's doing in his first year with all the pressure that's been on him so far, We're watching a star emerging.
It's brilliant to see because a lot of the media, yes, they're trying to get on his back, but a lot of it is build you up to try and cut you down if you don't meet expectation. I know you're big on this, Joey. He's
no one does it deliberately to cut him down.
100% that happens, Jay. Gosh. You can. I know you are behind the doors that are a part of it, and you might not be one of them that
do
does
think,
it.
Do you think we go, let's pump up Harley so 100%. When he plays a flat game, we can sink our 100%. Boots in? Oh, I've been working in journalism for 20 years. I've never heard that comment once.
Righto. Well,
honestly.
You may not be you, but 100% there's others that do that in the media. That's exactly their whole MO is to try and sensationalise things. And then if they reach that height, they go, look at me, I called it early. And they're hoping that it doesn't happen. You go, see, okay. He's overrated.
We'll have to continue that blue another time, mate. Daisy.
Outside whenever now, you want.
When he...
He's had one fight. Yeah. He thinks now he's Muhammad Ali.
I've seen you leveling up at 1-1, Jay.
Very scared I would be. Did you see, you mentioned the Nat Fyfe bump, Stevie J. Reckon Fyfe looked like an upturned turtle.
He almost couldn't believe it happened, didn't he? Fyfe laid there like, hey, you can't do that to me.
Oh, that's good. All right, Joey, you're out bad today, mate, coming off a long run. What do you got?
Oh, I think the point of contention is still the umpiring. For me, it's still a sore point. I don't think the four umpires has made any difference to the game whatsoever. In some ways, you could argue it's made it more confusing because it means more umpires that have a different interpretation of every single rule, so you get more inconsistency. But again, to watch the Adelaide-Essendon game and have another black and white decision be decided by an umpiring mistake,
yep.
It's a source of frustration. And I mean, I've been big on it, but I don't know why we can't think about having a mechanism to review these free kicks. I mean, I've heard all the commentary after I sort of went with it last week. Oh, our game's too grey. Well, the umpires have come out and said both those free kicks and the one that was missed against Carlton Fremantle was black and white. I've heard that, oh, we don't want to waste time. Yet, you know what I realise? So we don't want to waste 10 seconds on making a correct free kick decision that was a mistake from the umpire. But we waste probably 7 or 8 times a game where the centre bounce umpire bounces the ball. It's crooked. Mm. So we slow the game down. We hold it up. We waste seconds off the clock to say, oh, that's not fair for the ruckman. The poor ruckman couldn't get his hand to it. So let's ball it up again. But we can't have a mechanism to correct a free kick decision that can determine the outcome of a game. Like, some of our anomalies, I think, are quite weird. It's a bit of a frustration, and we should look at it.
Your call about the captain's call on a match winning decision.
I didn't just say captain's call. I said a mechanism to review it, like what the other sports do with the captain's challenge.
That would have corrected the Sam Draper free 100%. Kick, which would have given Adelaide the chance to win the game.
Yep.
Your man Jared Waitley didn't like that idea. He thought it was silly and nonsensical.
Yeah, for what reason? I listened to a lot of people's reasons. To go, give me the reasons were, we don't want to waste time. Oh, it won't work. Mm. So let's have a conversation about it. We've got to get the parameters exactly right and when you can use it, what it looks like. It was almost like the points around, oh, but what if the captain's down the other end of the field, or what if this? It's like, okay, well, let's just skim over it and let's keep it getting apologies on the Monday from the umpires. That really helps the clubs.
When you've got 4 points on the line like that, that's livelihoods and careers.
Exactly.
So it is a big deal. I'm sort of with you a bit there, Joey. Go on, Daisy. You've got the ugly, which is unlike you because you are a very positive man, but what's got you fired up?
Well, not about the balls up from the blokes who ball it up. That's been part of it. But the ugly for me is Freo. What is going on?
Yep.
Genuinely, what is going on? Yes, they had a win in round 3, kicked 9 goals. Since then, 9 goals, 9 goals, and 10 goals. Lose to West Coast Eagles in a derby on the weekend. Derby, call it what you will. They were playing finals 2 years ago. Missed last year. We thought, you know what, maybe that was a little bit of a slip up. They'll be back this year. They have been horrible.
Yep.
Their defense isn't good enough. Their offense is putrid.
Yep.
And right now, they're staring down missing finals again, unless they turn it around. And the scary thing is, you look at them and go, how are they going to turn this around? There seems to be no real answers. I'm slightly worried about where they're at.
You have to ask a genuine question whether complacency was a factor last night, because they're a lot better than that. I turned on midway through the first quarter. They were down 3 goals to Dockers, yep. And I could not believe the score. Like, I just could not believe what I was seeing. So they just must have went in flat, I reckon, and that would be a question for the footy club.
It looked like they expected at some point it would happen. Yeah, West Coast will be on top, but we'll get it going at some point and get it, you know, we'll get 1 or 2, 3, get the ball rolling. And they did that. They get 1 or 2, and then West Coast to go up the other end. I know you are somewhat involved, Joey, but it's not great for them.
No, it's been disappointing. But you know what? Sometimes you need to change our perceptions, and our perception of the West Coast Eagles isn't reality from what they've dished up the last 3 weeks. Like, they were very, very good against the Sydney Swans in Gather Round, didn't get the win. They were excellent against Richmond. So we've just got this perception that West Coast are these team that are hopeless, that can't win a game, maybe we need to start to change our view about the West Coast Eagles because the way they are playing.
Reckon they've turned the dial?
Well, have you seen them play the last 3 weeks, Jason?
Looks like they've turned the dial.
Well, that's all I'm
saying. Do we need to change our deflection here, Joey?
Yeah, do we need to change our perception of Freo then?
Hey, what are you saying?
Did you have Fremantle in your eight at the start of the year?
Yeah.
Did you?
I had them responding, and you look at the list that they've got, there's no reason why they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But now maybe the perception needs to change on them. If they don't turn it around in the next week or two, kicking 9 goals is not going to get you far.
That's fair.
What would you say, Stevie?
Oh, I just know that Joey's involved with Fremantle. I don't know if it says more about Fremantle or West Coast, as Joey's sort of saying.
A bit of both.
They were tremendous, and they're going to win a lot of footy games the way they played last night.
Certainly will. There's going to be a lot of talk about Harley. We're going to speak about him.
What have you got, Jay?
Well, we got Patrick Lipinski on the phone, so we need to get to him right now.
He's your good.
Pardon?
Yeah. He's your good.
He is my good. My good was actually going to be the Taylor Walker. I think my good is Taylor Walker. I think he's the best field kick in the competition other than Collingwood superstar Scott Pendlebury. I think he's
Scott Pendlebury. Oh, Pendlebury.
There was a kick in the third quarter. He snapped it round
anyway,
the corner.
We'll get to Lipper.
Yeah, Lipper.
And it was well done, Taylor Walker, who did give the umpire a really good cook after
absolutely
the Sam Draper thing. We're going to speak to Paddy Lipinski. That's coming up next on the Sunday Rub.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rock footy.
Yes, welcome back to the Sunday Rub. Well, this man is getting it done, not only in the midfield half, but also in attack as well for the Collingwood Football Club, who had a nice old comeback win against Port Adelaide at the MCG yesterday. It's Patrick Lipinski on the phone. Good morning to you, Patrick.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Mate, it was an extraordinary game to be at the MCG because that first quarter, Port Adelaide had total control. And then you guys just absolutely wrenched it out of their halves in the second quarter. How on earth did that game swing so violently?
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing game. Their pressure in that first quarter was really high and we didn't really deal with it too well. But we got some momentum going at the end of the first quarter and Will Hoskin Elliott probably got the whole team going. And the crowd was just electric from the second quarter onwards. And when we're going like that with the momentum, it's a really fun team to play in. And we really capitalised on all that momentum and got a nice win.
What was Craig McRae most impressed about? What part of the performance was he most pleased with?
I think just our fight, especially some of our undersized, talls up forward, just really provided a great contest on blokes like Alia and Radical Lear. And just when we take territory and always move the ball forward, we can get our pressure game going from that. So I think, he's most happy with just our pressure. And at the end of the day, he's always happy as long as we win. So that's what he keeps saying. Doesn't matter how you get it, as long as you get the 4 points. So, he was just happy we banked another win.
And, Paddy, early on in the season, your defence has probably let you down. But last night, your defensive pressure was outstanding. You went back to winning the contested ball by 41 and your pressure went up and you're able to score 72 points off turnover. That must have been a massive thing in the review.
Yeah, well, I think the first few weeks when we lost those first three games, our pressure wasn't as good as we would have liked it to be. It was kind of been a staple of the last 2 years when we get wins and we're playing well, our pressure is really high. And the last 3 weeks, our pressure has been a lead again, which just allows everything from our game to flow from that. We're not always the prettiest team with skills and everything. So we like to just get it going forward. And that starts from pressure and just getting the ball going. So it was really good.
Lipper, congrats on your own form as well, mate. I watched you in the preseason. Last year, you were a touch banged up. It looks like you've had a really good summer. And embracing that role as sort of that sixth forward that also comes up through the midfield at times, you must be loving, one, the role you're playing, but two, having a body that's allowing you to do your best.
Yeah, 100%. It's nice just to be healthy. I think, last year I had two shoulder recos, so kind of on the back foot from the moment I came in, so just with strength and everything. So, it's good to just be healthy throughout the preseason and just get to train and lift a lot of weights and get stronger again. And with the role, it kind of changes every week for me. I'm playing wing or forward or a little bit of mid and going up to stoppage. So it's just nice to be flexible and happy to just be playing every week.
We're speaking to Collingwood star midfield forward Patrick Lipinski. Signed a contract extension at the Pies too, mate, which is a nice reward for your form that Daisy is talking about. The hard thing for us on the outside, one of the hardest things for me to talk about or assess or judge, Patrick, is the team's hunger and the drive and the desire. So when a team like yours goes and wins the flag last year, and it was an incredible campaign, you got to butter up and climb the mountain again next year. You lose your first three, and it's easy for people like me, you know, question, do you want it? How's the hunger? You know, are they as desperate? How did you feel like that played out on the inside? Was it ever questioned? Is it something you ever can maturely talk about? Look, boys, do we still have the hunger, or was it more specific mechanics in your game or preparation you think that was a little bit off? How did you assess those first three?
Yeah, the hunger thing was never mentioned or really questioned at all, because just not true. So it was kind of, you can see, you know, throughout the preseason and everything, we're all training super hard and obviously want to be a great team again and get back to what we've been doing over the last few years. And those first three games, it wasn't a lack of hunger or anything. We came up against some pretty good opposition those early rounds, and yeah, we just haven't had a complete performance. And even yesterday, we still probably only played three good quarters, and it's been the same in our other two wins we had previously, where we haven't played the full four quarters to the best of our ability. So we've still got a lot of room for growth to find our absolute best again. But the hunger is definitely there, and internally, it wasn't really panic stations. It was just trying to get back to what we're good at, and which is our pressure, like I've mentioned. And when we do that, it just allows the rest of our game to flow.
When you get the game on your terms, like you guys did after halftime yesterday, it becomes fun. It looks like it's really enjoyable. To be honest, it looked like you and Bobby Hill were having probably the most fun out there, giggling at times, really enjoying your pressure, but also scoring off the back of that. What's he brought to that footy club?
I just love playing with Bobby. He's so good. I think yesterday he was just so unselfish. He probably could have kicked five or six himself, but he was just handballing them off to everyone, and I got one from him, so that was nice. But yeah, playing with him is just unbelievable. He can do a lot of things that many players can't do. His sidestep and his class around the forward 50 is unbelievable. But yeah, he's just a great bloke and just got that infectious, happy personality that just lifts everyone up around him. So yeah, I really love playing with him, and can't wait to keep doing it.
And you've got a short turnaround. You play this Thursday, which is the Anzac Day clash against Essendon. It's going to be huge, 90-plus thousand there. You must be chomping at the bit to get straight into that one.
Yeah, I can't wait. The Anzac Day game is just amazing, and I was injured last year and missed a game, so I haven't played it for 2 years. So I'm really keen to get out there and play in front of, 90,000 and hear the last post and just enjoy everything that the week has to offer. It's just such a great game early in the season. And yeah, I'm very excited to get to Thursday.
It's going to be an absolute beauty. Full house at the MCG, one of the best days in the footy calendar. No doubt about that. Before we let you go, Paddy, just tell me what happens in the team song. Just after massive day for Steel Side Bottom yesterday, past Tony Shaw's record, 313 games, played 314, so second behind Pendles. But then you just got him in there.
Yeah, just slip him in somewhere.
So you'll have to have the team room quiet, and then you got to wait for Steel to basically start shouting out the song. Can you tell me why Steel? How does all that work? It's quite a funny thing to observe.
I actually don't know. I don't know if it happened. I've only been in the club for 3 years. I don't know if it was happening before that or whatever. But
he seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, we just, Darcy Moore always goes quiet, everyone quiet, and then we just say on Steel. So we could be waiting 10, 15 seconds sometimes, and then
it's a long wait sometimes. It really doesn't make you wait.
It is a long wait. Probably bizarre watching on TV, just having a silent. But yeah, then he gets us going, and then we sing from there, and there's always kids in there, so they're saying block their ears when Sidey does his big shout. So, it's pretty good. It's awesome having Sidey do stuff like that. He's just the best bloke ever. So we love him a lot.
It's very good. Patrick, thank you so much for your time today, mate. Good luck on Thursday and for the rest of the back-to-back premiership tilts. We appreciate having you on Triple M today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me, and have a good one.
Well done, Lipper.
Lipper.
Good energy in the interview. Yeah. I like Lipper. Good, good chat.
We were flat good with kid. Adam good. Chera, flat. Yeah. And we needed to bounce back off Adam, it's fair to say.
The old wrought iron hang glider.
A couple of long questions from you, but otherwise it was
good. It was a six-minute interview, and your questions went for three of them, Jay.
Well, Stevie.
One of them was 90 seconds. I want to get a countdown on that one.
I like to dive deep.
Oh, sound good. Of your own voice. Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks Footy.